Yes, we are joined on the telephone by erotic fiction writer Mitzi Zaretto. Good afternoon to you, Mitzi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Good. Thank you very much for, well, thank you for agreeing to do this interview for us.
It's, well, how can I resist anybody who lives in Newcastle?
Oh, thank you very much. Actually, I read on your web blog, because you called them Geordies, and Northumbrians get a bit upset about that.
Yes, I know, but I understand it's okay in Newcastle when I was sort of looking at it, you know, one size fits
that's,
all, but I apologize. If
that's okay, Mitzi, that's fine. Right then, well, some people have actually been saying to me, erotic fiction, what's that all about? Can you tell people, actually, who've never read erotic fiction before, what exactly is erotic fiction?
To be honest with you, that I think that reply would depend upon who's doing the writing of the erotic fiction. You know, there are a lot of misconceptions about erotic fiction, and some of those misconceptions are earned, you know, because a lot of the stuff is just not very high quality. I'd like to hope what I do is high quality and that it is something that is more, you know, toward the mainstream and can qualify as a piece of fiction or literature, as opposed to simply just being, you know, lumped in with some top shelf fare.
Absolutely. I mean, there is a stigma with erotic fiction. I mean, who actually reads erotic fiction? Who would you say is who would you class as a reader?
I think that it is really all over the place. There is no typical reader of erotic fiction. I think, you know, there is no typical reader of a mystery novel either. It's all kinds of people.
And also, as well, I mean, should people be scared of erotic fiction? I mean, I've finished your book, actually, Getting Even, Revenge Stories. And, oh, I tell you what, there was parts of that there when I sat there and I was like, oh, because it's all very much men, isn't it, who sort of get their comeuppance.
Well, yes, I mean, the book was about women protagonists getting revenge. But let's, you know, there were some revenge against, you know, co-workers and friends. But, yeah, I suppose it's inevitable. It has to be men.
We're swines, aren't we? That's it.
Well, swines. I hope they're not. You're not all swines. There must be some gems in this gender somewhere.
Of course I am. So let me just ask, I mean, going back, I mean, what actually... what did you want to do when you were younger? I mean, did you put, you know, down at Careers Day, I'm going to become a writer of erotic fiction?
No, but actually, I started to write from a very young age. I used to write a lot of short stories and poetry in primary school, and I actually wrote a novel when I was 10.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. My mother still has it in a bedside drawer, threatening to bring it out if there's ever company when I visit.
Do you know what? You should put it on your weblog, honestly, because that would be... just scanned as well, so we can actually see it in true handwriting. That'd be great.
You know, that is an idea. I mean, I've got my childhood photo on my Facebook. Why not go all the way?
Well, why not? Because it would give people sort of an introduction to you, and they could see, you know, where you started from. So what was this story then when you were 10, exactly? Can you remember much about it?
It was a very gory murder mystery. And I even did illustrations.
Oh!
Like bloodied knives and things.
Oh, Mitzi, please. I mean, the front cover of Getting Even, Revenge Stories. I mean, we've got it as well on... we've got a picture of that on our website, which is lineupradio.com. And honestly, it's just the cover itself. I mean, they say, you know, never judge a book by its cover. But you look at the cover of this and you're like, whoa. In case you've not seen it, it's like what is essentially a big kitchen knife with... red coming from the bottom of it. So.
You know, this is sort of prophetic because that is similar to my illustration from my book when I was 10.
So what exactly happened then in this book when you were 10?
You know, I haven't actually looked at it in so long. As I said, my mother's got it in Florida. But I just recall there was a murder and burying a body and trying to cover up the evidence.
At 10 years old?
I was precocious. What do you want me to say?
Just a little bit. Actually, I wanted to ask you a question as well. When you go to things like parties or introductions with people, what are people's reactions like when you tell them what you actually do for a living?
Well, they're pretty okay about it. I mean, I think when they see me in person and I start talking, I'm certainly, you know, the proof is right in front of you who you're talking to, as opposed to maybe some mysterious figure that you're going to have all these preconceptions of.
Yes.
So it's probably, I don't think it really raises too many eyebrows.
Well, that's good. I mean, I read it and I'm not going to lie to you. I was expecting a lot more rudeness in it, to be honest with you. I mean, it was very, very interesting. I mean, it's just I was expected to be a little bit more shocked.
Well, actually, that book is not so much a work of erotic fiction. It's really more mainstream crime with some elements of, you know, some erotic elements in it. If you check out any of the other books, you know, the erotic fairy tales or Wicked or any of those, you will find they are more explicit.
That's
and a bit
already
more,
yeah. Already on order from Amazon.
Order
I've already got them on order. I'm just waiting for them to come through now. It's something that I was reading it, and as I said, I was sitting there, part of it, I was cross-legged. I mean, the first story in the revenge stories, actually, I will say, the tattooist one, that's one as well that sort of made me, what was it called? Skin Deep, wasn't
it? Yeah.
And
then, Skin Deep, I think.
Yeah, and then the first one which you read, which is very akin to, I don't know if you know it at all, Tales of the Unexpected?
Well, actually, a lot of the critics who reviewed the book said it was like a modern Tales of the Unexpected.
Yeah, the old Roald Dahl.
Yeah. Well, actually, that first piece that you're mentioning, the story Glazed, which is Danuta Ray, she was up for the Crime Writers Association Award for that story. I think it was the Silver Dagger or the Golden Dagger, whatever.
Oh, that's what an apt title for an award as well.
Yeah, well, it's for crime writers.
The Golden Dagger.
Yeah.
That story, actually, you mentioned about Glazed, maybe you'd like to tell the story about that, but the end is quite horrible, isn't it? would you like to just tell people briefly about that? Because that's sort of when you read the book, it's like punch, you're in, and you're like, whoa, I'm glued now. Glazed, as
the case
may be.
Well, it's about a woman who has a business. She does very, very high-quality pottery, and her husband apparently even though it's her business, he is basically the one who pulls the strings, and he essentially tells her, well, look, I'm sorry, I want a divorce. I'm seeing someone, she's pregnant, and I'm, you know, the business, forget it. Now, she had a workshop employee who was a lad with Down syndrome, and she and her husband had a child with Down syndrome, and her husband pretty much wanted to erase this kid from his life. So one of the demands he made was, you've got to fire this guy from the workshop. I don't want him there. So essentially, she has to let the lad go, the lad with the Down syndrome, and he's quite upset because he doesn't understand and he doesn't know what he's going to tell his mother. So he decides to help his employer out one last time in the workshop, and essentially he's confronted by the woman's husband. And let's just put some ellipses there for what's going to happen.
Yeah. And he, well, it all ends up with some very nice glazed pottery, doesn't it?
Brilliant pottery. The best I think they've produced, yeah.
It's very, very good. I mean, as I said, that's sort of like the sucker punch. You read that and you're like, whoa, I'm in.
You'll never look at that pottery on the mantle again the same way.
I know, it's quite sinister, really. I mean, have you ever had many objections at all from people?
I think, I'm trying to remember, because when I first did the call for submissions, because I've got about 3,000 people on an email list, and then, of course, that gets bounced all over the world to the most bizarre places. I had this very strange email come in from some man, and he was pretty much lambasting me, like, this is not a good thing to do, and you're advocating revenge against men, and I'm thinking, okay, have you read American Psycho?
Yeah.
don't lay it on my doorstep.
And also as well, I mean, obviously you're from America. You say your mother lives in California.
No, she's in Florida.
Oh, Florida, sorry.
Yeah, hurricane land, yes.
Oh, yeah. Is she okay though over there?
Oh, she is this week, but I think there's a couple of them rattling around.
Nah, tell her to come over. Tell her to come over. With that novel as well, your very first novel. We'd love to see that. I think, actually, Mitzi, promise me one thing. What? When you're next over there, because I know you're over there in a couple of weeks, aren't you?
Well, I'm leaving tomorrow, but I'll be in California tomorrow.
That's where I'm getting the California thing
from.
That's please, get a copy of that and put it on the internet, because that would be great to read. It's just scanned as it is.
It is an idea. I think I'll probably be in Florida before the new year, and I think that sounds like a fun plan.
I think that would be great. Also, as well, you know, coming from America, why did you choose England?
I think I had some strange otherworldly tie, or a past life tie, because I'd always wanted to live here from a very young age.
And so how do you find the English people? Do you find them quite accepting, not only of you, but also as well of your fiction?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I feel that I've had more opportunities given to me here. I know they say, oh, it's more open-minded in America and it's the land of opportunity, but to me it's worked the opposite.
We're the home of Shakespeare, aren't we?
Well, yeah,
nobody told a story like him, and it's essentially a lot of these revenge things as well. They still come back to, you know, you can always find little pieces. Yeah. I've always found. I mean, I studied up to degree level for English literature, and it was every story you can find a comparison with Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, when, as I said, some of these revenge stories and things like that, there you're thinking, oh, you know, there's a lot of it there based in, you know, A, B, C, D, and it all comes up to that conclusion.
Yeah.
And it's great, and it's just the imagination, honestly. I'm just still shocked now by this 10-year-old story, and I could just imagine you there as a sweet little 10-year-old there drawing these... drawing these...
With my proverbial little smirk at age 10, yeah.
Yeah, so... oh, dear me. Well, Mitzi, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.
Your work is... obviously available online as well, yeah. And all good bookshops, or I hope all good bookshops.
Well, of course, we wouldn't have it in a bad bookshop.
Well, no, and we've got a great bookshop actually up here called Barter Books, which they stock secondhand books as well. So,
but you don't want to get secondhand copies of my book.
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. You want first editions. That's what we need. First signed editions. That's
absolutely
what we need.
Well, you should have a chat with somebody up there to invite me up for some kind of a book event. I've not been up to Newcastle.
You haven't been up here?
No, I haven't seen that blinking bridge thing yet.
Ah, yes. The Millennium Bridge.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Millennium Bridge. But when it goes a certain way, it looks like a blinking eye.
Yeah.
It's great. Actually, it's a really, really nice part of the world. And also, as well, where we are, which is up in Alnwick, which is home of Harry Potter's castle.
Oh.
Well, home of Hogwarts.
Is the heating any good, though?
It's actually a working castle, a living castle, so... Yeah.
But they never have good heat in these places.
Oh, I'm sure they've got plenty of heating up here, because it can be quite chilly.
Yeah.
It can be quite chilly. Well, Mitzi, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thank you very much. As I said, you can go to our website as well. There are links on there, so you can actually click and go straight to Amazon's website as well, so they can actually get your books as well.
Yes, they can in their hot little hands, yep.
Oh, yes. and there'll be sweaty palms as well after it.
Maybe.
After reading Revenge Stories, honestly, I was sort of thinking about things I've done before, and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, Mitzi. I've not been a saint when I was younger.
Oh, come on.
Shall I say?
I can't believe that.
Oh, well, I'm going to dig myself into a big hole here.
Probably.
But I was just thinking to myself, my gosh, the things that could have happened to me, honestly. Right, then, well, Mitzi, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. We'll speak to you soon as
okay,
well.
Okay, thanks.